Welcome to Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, founder of SCR Insights, one of the leading data platforms in the industry. Through using data and analytics, I've been able to replace my W-2 with cash flow from my successful short-term rentals. And my goal is to help you achieve the same freedom and success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just a novice looking to make your mark, Cashflow Positive is your go-to resource for unlocking the full potential of your property portfolio. Welcome back to another episode of Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, and I'm going to be talking about no data, no problem. All right. So many of you know that I am a data guru, junkie, whatever you want to call me. Just I love data. Okay. Data nerd. And it's difficult for me to make decisions about whether an investment from a revenue standpoint, and then also, you know, post-acquisition in terms of a, if you wanted to add an amenity standpoint, if there's no data, it's really hard to go, yeah, that makes sense, or that doesn't make sense if there's nothing to back it up. I've been in a situation myself personally where I've bought a property and added amenities where no one else in that entire area has had that amenity before. But I knew from experience, and I knew from looking at data in other markets and understanding and researching similar markets, that adding that particular amenity is going to be a game changer for me. It just was difficult to figure out how much of a game changer. And so in this episode, I really want to dive into this concept of, okay, I'm in a market, because this is going to be most markets that we're looking into. All right, large popular vacation markets. There's so many amenities. Everybody has everything. You've got tons of good data. You don't have that problem. But for the majority of other people outside of those large vacation markets, there's a lot of data that's not there. And even then, like introducing new amenities and things where there's not a lot of data points. I know pickleball courts are a point of contention right now, whether to justify a $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 pickleball court. Installing a new pickleball court is going to be, or going to make sense. So what I want to talk about and give some examples is, okay, what would Kenny do, right? That should be like an acronym. What would Kenny do? I'll make a t-shirt. So let me know if you want the t-shirt. What would Kenny do? And like some like data glasses on or something. I don't know. But let's talk about this because it's really, really important and it happens frequently. And I just really don't hear a lot of people share their insights on how they handle this. So let's go over a couple different scenarios. So before I jump into how I would do this and how I would evaluate properties when there's just nothing similar or comparable to it, or amenities, well, once again, not that many comparable things to it in that market. One of the big pieces that you have to understand is when we start making assumptions and there's less data, it becomes risky. Okay, you're introducing risk, in more risk, I should say, into an investment. That's really important to understand. Now, how do we overcome risk? It is through data or facts, essentially, and experience. So when I see new investors find like really find properties that are really unique, or, you know, like ones that are like in the middle of nowhere, and it's like, well, they got a pool, it's indoor, they've got, you know, a pickleball court, a tennis court, a football stadium, like, you know, it gets crazy with it, but it's like in the middle of Kansas. How much money can this make? And to me, I always kind of question, it's not about how much can it make, but should you actually do it? You know, if you have no experience, doing something like that can be incredibly risky. Whereas if you have experience, you know some of the ins and outs of hosting and are able to take on more of that risk because you have knowledge, right? Maybe you don't have enough knowledge about that market, and that's okay, but you have knowledge and you know what it takes to get up and going. Therefore, there's less risk involved in just making that second, third, fourth, fifth investment you're doing. But for a first-time investment, I always want to tell people that, like, even if there's not a lot of data, and this is kind of something that's a little iffy, you probably shouldn't do it on your first one. And that's okay. All right. Like, we don't need to just go out and try to get a home run on the first property. We need to do something that's really good. And maybe we luck out and hit a home run. But the more home runs we see, they're just kind of, they're riskier for first time investors, because a lot of them actually don't pan out. All right. And that's the last thing I want you to do, is have a property that you invest a lot of time, energy, and more importantly, money, and it doesn't pan out. So what do you do? So remember that risk when there's no data or not a lot of data to back up numbers, amenities, whatever it is, there is more risk because we're going to assume some things. But I got you. All right. I'm going to share with you how to be conservative and my secret formula to evaluating whether a deal makes sense or an amenity makes sense. So let's talk about two things you can do. So if you run into a situation where there's no revenue or you don't have any, like when you're evaluating a property, there's no revenue on the properties, or there's like not any, like if you're evaluating an amenity, for example, like, oh, well, my property has a pool, but nobody in the entire market has a pool. Or I have a 6-bedroom and there's no 6 bedrooms in this market. Or I have a 6-bedroom with a view and no one has that. There's all these different, you know, scenarios we could make up. If you're running this situation, what do you do? Okay, there's two things you can do. So number one, you can go and look in surrounding markets, all right? So what I mean by that is go look, like if you're in a lake market, go look at, I'm sure there's other lake markets nearby, okay? Go look in those areas. Go look in those markets that are near you, because in reality, and this is something important, your market isn't just set by the geographical zip code of that area. It's not. That's what we think. Like when we use STR Insights or another data platform, we go in and we type in, you know, oh, I'm going to type in, you know, let me pick out, I'll do a big market, for example, Sevierville. Okay, great. Sevierville. But we know that the Smokies is actually Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, and Sevierville. Okay. So that's your region. So really you're part of a region. So what I want you to do is you need to figure out what your region truly is. How do you do that? You might already know it. Or if you're looking at a new market and you're trying to evaluate a new deal, go to Airbnb.com. This sounds super cheesy, but trust me, do this and you'll know. Airbnb.com, type in the name of the market you're in. So if you were in Sevierville, you type in Sevierville, okay? And don't put any dates in, don't put any guests, don't do any of that, and hit search. Look at the results on the map. Look at the market names that Airbnb is going to display for those properties. I guarantee you, you're going to see properties that say Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, Townsend, Ware's Valley, which I guess is part of Sevierville, you could argue, but like you're going to see all these different names that, and that's the region, that's the market. So when you're looking at a market, not like Sevierville, but maybe like in a Michigan or in the Northeast somewhere, or somewhere in the middle of the Midwest or the middle of Kansas, like whatever example, if you're looking at these places, look at the region. Study the region. That's really where you need to get your data from. It's not just about that tiny market in the town or the city that's got the, you know, the zip code, because reality is people aren't searching that way. They're searching on Airbnb, and Airbnb isn't displaying it that way with a nice cute zip code borders. It's showing you a radius within that area, within the traffic drivers. That's important. That's step number one. So what I mean by that is search that region, see those market names, then go back into STR Insights and pull up those markets and see if there's properties in there. I just did this example in Taos, New Mexico. I was looking for 3-4 bedrooms in the data, and there really wasn't that many. And I was like, that's weird. It's Taos. Like, that's just, it's kind of like a city, and like, you know, there's a lot of properties. Turns out they're in El Prado, they're in Valdez, they're in Angel Fire, they're in all the region, and they're not just in Taos. And so I was pulling properties from the region instead of just in Taos, and that's totally fine. Okay. So that's the first thing you can do. Look in similar markets that are part of the region. And 9 times out of 10, like sometimes the regions are actually pretty big, and that's fine. Pull your comps from there. Okay. The second thing you can do, and this is where it gets a little bit iffier, but it's the next best chance you have, is look in similar markets. All right. So for example, if I'm in a ski market, okay, well, guess what? The ski market's usually not a region. It's a mountain, and then you want to be around that mountain. That's it. Okay. But if there's not a lot of properties that have a particular amenity you're looking at, or not a lot of, well, we'll stick to that example. So if there's not a lot of properties that have a pool in a ski market, which there usually aren't, how do you evaluate the revenue for that? How do you know what it's going to make? The best thing to do, because you can't really expand the region because the ski market's right there. The best thing to do is to go and look at other ski markets and look at what the same properties and find properties with pools do compared to the rest of the properties. Do they do better or worse? Okay. Now, the problem with that is you're making some assumptions that, oh, well, I can make the same revenue, which is not true. Okay. We want to see, and this is the formula I want to teach you. We want to see a percentage difference, whether you're evaluating what a property can make or what a property can make with an amenity. We need to look for a percentage difference. We never want to bank on the ceiling like, oh, well, you know, their property's here making $200,000. Therefore, like if because this property has this amenity or it's a little bit different, therefore it can make that. Like, you're telling yourself a story that's not backed by any data. So what's my secret formula? What's this percentage thing I was just talking about? So the percentage difference is the difference in revenue from a lower or higher bedroom count and for in a particular or in a different market. So let me give you the example. So let's say I have a 4-bedroom property. It could be in a ski market, doesn't matter where it is, 4-bedroom property, and it has a pool, okay? Nobody else in my market has a pool, a 4-bedroom property with a pool, okay? And then I dive in deeper, and guess what? I don't find any properties in my market with a pool. Well, crap. In most places, we know that pools make more money. Well, how much money am I going to make? Is it going to make sense as a deal? What do I do? So a lot of people, what they'll do, something smart, to be honest, and safe is just to look at the low. It's just to say, well, 4 bedrooms make $50,000. Therefore, the property is going to make $50,000. Okay. And maybe you assume that it can make a little more, and that's banking on the floor, which is totally what I want you to do instead of bank on the ceiling. But you're like, look, I don't have any data, so I can't assume that it's going to make more money. So $50,000, that's what the floor is. That's what other properties are doing. Therefore, it's going to make 50K. If it makes more than that, I think it will, but I don't know. So if it makes more than that, I'll be happy, and that makes sense. Okay. But the problem is today, $50,000 isn't that much. Okay. And it's probably not going to be a great deal. So, and you probably, because the purchase price is going to be like 500 or 600 or 700 or more. Okay. So how do we determine what the impact of that pool is going to be using data that we don't have in that market? Here's what I want you to do. You're going to go in a similar market, like we talked about in the first example, or a surrounding market. Okay. So I think I switched those two. So sorry, surrounding market or similar market, doesn't matter. So let's go into surrounding markets. So I look in surrounding markets in the region, and lo and behold, There are a couple properties that have pools in the surrounding markets. Or maybe there's nothing in the surrounding markets and I have to go to similar markets in, you know, a state next door, or, you know, maybe in the same state, but a different part of the state. Doesn't matter. What you're going to do is you're going to compare the revenue of that property that has that amenity or has that feature or has whatever you're looking at to properties that don't. So let's say, and I'm gonna get really extreme in this example here. Let's say that I look in a similar market and there are 0 4-bedrooms that have pools. Only 5 bedrooms have pools. Okay. So I've got a 4-bedroom with a pool. Can I assume it makes the same as a 5-bedroom with a pool? Nope. That's risky too. Don't assume that. So what do we do here? We look at the percentage difference. So the percentage difference of properties that have that amenity versus properties that don't have that amenity. So for example, if I look at a 5 bedrooms in a similar market or a market nearby that have pools, and let's say that those properties, I'm finding quite a few, maybe at least 3, and they make, we'll say $150,000 with a pool. 5 bedrooms with a pool, and they're making $150,000. Okay. Well, then I go and I look at properties without a pool, 5 bedrooms in the same market, and I look at what they're generating, $100,000. Okay, great. So 150 with a pool, 150 without. So am I going to make $50,000 with a pool? No, don't assume that. Once again, we want to take the percentage difference, not the actual number. That's key. Okay. So the reason why we take a percentage is because that helps us mitigate against risk of that property not actually generating that exact number because of the location, because we're still kind of making some assumptions here. So in this example, if I take the percentage difference between having a pool and not having a pool, the revenue difference, that's $50,000 or about 66%. So I take the revenue without and divide it by the revenue with. So 100 divided by 150, that gives me 66%. Now I go back to my market and I see that 4 bedrooms without pools are making 50K. I can take 50K, divide that by 66%. And that will tell me that my property with a pool should theoretically generate about $75,000. Okay, 66%. The percentage difference will help protect us against trying to hit exactly a specific number. All right, sure, I gave, and everyone knows I love to evaluate revenue on a range. It's the same thing you do with amenities. It doesn't matter. It's all within a range. So I would never say, oh, it's going to be 75. I'd probably say like maybe 65 to 80 or something like that. But 75 is right in the middle there. So the pool has the impact by I'm expecting this. That's the best way to do it, guys. I know that's not clean. I know it's not the perfect way, but it's not perfect because we don't have the data to back it up. But we look at the percentage difference. And it's usually pretty freaking close, okay? Now, because you're introducing something into a market that has never been there before, you might actually tap into a gold mine. I found this out with a hot tub. So I added a hot tub to my property, and I did this exact same experiment, and it was like, okay, cool. I had a hot tub. I looked at similar markets. They had a hot tub. I looked at the percentage difference. It was about 10%. I added that to my revenue. Great, I'm gonna make about $10,000 more, okay? I ended up making $20,000 more. Cool. I win. Okay. Sure. I was off, but who freaking cares? I made more money than I originally projected. I was conservative and it paid off. Okay. So like adding that particular amenity, it was a hot tub, super basic. I knew it was going to do well. And I still calculated a difference. It helped me figure out the ROI and helped me make that decision using the percentage difference. So no data, no problem. That's how you do it. Go do it and look for similar markets. Make sure you're looking in your region, not just in your cute little geographical borders of your zip code, because it doesn't work like that on Airbnb. And that's how you get around the issue of, oh, there's no data here. Therefore, I can't evaluate that property. That's how you do it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I've got an amazing guest coming on Thursday in a market where this happens all the time. He's going to share his experiences. I'm going to share my pitfalls of learning the hard way, how to trust the data when there's no data. And anyway, so be sure to listen to that episode. That's part two of this series. And I will see you on the next episode. My name is Kenny Bedwell, and this is Cashflow Positive, and I will see you next time.